I don't know if I could speak after that worship service. That was incredible. I just wanted to mention all of those songs are so, I don't, trying to find the worship team. All of those songs were just so perfect. For where we started and where we're ending. And I am going to really be careful because if I keep talking, I'll just start blubbering, crying. But the last one, Shout to the Lord. We were with some dear friends that couldn't be here today. They're in Florida. And we went to Kingdom Bound with them. And our daughter was there, and she was a small girl. And Darlene was Czech was there because she had just launched that song and was like catapulted into like the number one Christian artist. And she was signing books. And we went into the tent and we spoke to her. I have never met a more humble worshiper than her. We have said that we knew why God elevated her. Because she was something, something amazing. And she even had a chance to speak over Danielle and said things to her that were absolutely true and amazing. So thank you, team, for doing that song. You guys were so spot on today. It was amazing. So with that, I have wanted to tell you that, first of all, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for coming all this way, for some of you. People out of town, New Jersey, my family, Rob's family, of course, my family, too. And so we're very, very grateful that you're all here. People we haven't seen in a really long time, and just we love you all. You're just precious. Hi, Barb. And I just wanted to spend a minute, just a minute, and say thank you for partnering with us as we're ready to launch into the next adventure. And there are stories that have been told, and there will be a whole lot more stories. And we all know who the greatest storyteller is. Wow, Robert Chapitka. So I just want to say thank you again. We look forward to all God is doing here and in our lives. And with that, I say, saddle up, friends. What it is for all of us, isn't it? It's the great adventure, because you don't know from 1 minute to the next what God is going to be doing, all right? And it comes with ups and downs, but it's all worth it. So with that, I would like to introduce my best friend, love of my life. The best pastor a girl could ever have. Rob Chapitka.
Hi, everyone. Do you remember me? My name is Pastor Rob. I'm a pastor, and that means I'm a community helper, just like the firefighters, and the community helpers like the police officers. that are community helpers, and the doctors and the nurses and the EMTs, they're community helpers, and your teachers too. Your teachers are community helpers. My job, though, looks a little bit different than the other community helpers. I don't get to wear a hat or a helmet. I can't drive the ambulance. But what I do have is something very, very important, something very special, something that can help you and I, but also all of the other community helpers. What do I have that's so important? I have a Bible. B-I-B-L-E. So I've been told that there are some important questions that you'd like me to answer.
Hi, Pastor Rob. What do Pastor do's?
Jackson, that's a very good question. What do pastors do? You know how mommy and daddy take care of you and help you when you're sad? They teach you new things. They help you grow up. They help you learn how to be with other people. And they help you know about God. Well, pastors do that for mommies and daddies too, and for grandmas and grandpas, and for policemen and firemen and doctors and nurses, for everybody. Anybody who wants to know, anybody who needs help, pastors try to help them. That's a good question.
Hi, Pastor Rob. I'm Nate. And how long have you been doing your job?
Nate, I've been doing my job as a pastor here at Light of the World and Noah's Ark Preschool for about 14 years. And I think I'll probably be doing it for the whole rest of my life. Thanks for asking.
It's me, Nico. What do you put in your hair?
Nico, you're wondering what hair products I use, huh? Well, I'll tell you if you tell me, because your hair always looks amazing. So when I'm being Pastor Rob, I kind of comb my hair like this, and I get some water in a bottle like this, just spray it up, comb it nice and neat. That's all I do. But then, if I'm gonna be somewhere else and I just want to go a little wild, I put on this right here. It's called Full Control Spray Gel. I think you know what I mean. I spray it in there. I kind of spike it up. Kind of spike it up like that. That's maybe what I look like if you don't see me at the church. A little wilder. What do you think, Nico?
Hi, Pastor Rob. It's Lucy. What's your chicken's part of your job?
Lucy, that's another really good question. I think the trickiest part of my job is to make sure that I'm spending lots of time with my family, because I'm always spending time with people. Maybe that's why people think I live at the church. I need to be very careful to spend lots of time with my beautiful family. And I'm glad that you even remind me of that with that great question. Thank you.
Hi, Pastor Law. My name is Joshua. You should say a prayer for everyone so everyone can feel better so we can visit everyone again. Bye.
Ezra, that was a great request to pray for everyone. So I'm going to do that right now. Father, dear Lord, we come before you for all of our friends, all the children and parents of the preschool, and all of our families and friends in our cities and communities around us, and for our country, for our world. Lord, we pray that we would learn how to love each other more deeply during this time. We pray that we would learn patience in this time. We thank you for the opportunity to get to know each other better. And we've learned that we really want to be with our friends that we miss. We really miss our school. We miss our church. We thank you, Lord, that there'll be a time when we can all do that again together. We thank you for this time that you're teaching us, because you're a great teacher. We pray it in Jesus' name. We good? Can we hear? Oh, look at that. Okay. Look at that. Where are you going?
I'll shake hands and I'll go down.
Shake hands? I don't think so. So that video was made during COVID, if you could tell. And the church was shut down. Never again. Sorry, did I say that? Never again. No, nope, that's not going to happen. And the preschool did everything they could, right? We have a lot of the teachers in the back there. Everything they could to continue having the school and having connection. They did a lot of it online. It was amazing, and that was one of them. And I just want to say right up front, two favorite times here at Light of the World. One, as you know, Isabel and I have led worship here for quite a while, all the way back to 1996, 97, somewhere around there. That's a long time, isn't it? Some of you weren't even born yet. Just thinking about this song that Isabel played, this is like our theme song for me and for Isabel, for Danielle. Danielle, just stick your hand up in the back there, wherever you are. She's changing Jasper. All right, Josh, how about you? Stick your hand up. That's Josh. Officially, he's a son-in-law, but really, really, he's my son. He's my son. Amen. So this song, The Great Adventure, we used to sing it all the time when Stephen Curtis Chapman first came out. I mean, he was a young guy. We had the video. We watched it 100 times. We loved it. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. That's one of the lines, right, that we were singing before. And I'll talk to Stephen, because Stephen Leitner is the music teacher. So anybody in here familiar at all with music? Not too many, Steve. Wow. It's like that line, let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown, should have been in a minor key. You know the difference between a major and a minor key? You don't know. Oh, is the piano on? It's not on. It doesn't matter. Major keys are like happy. Happy birthday to you. Happy. Minor keys are like what you have for a creepy movie. Or like somebody sneaking up on you. It's a minor key. It's amazing. Just the way you play the music sounds like, ooh, something bad's going to happen. Well, let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. Right, Mike? Never know what's going to happen to you, do you? There are so many things that come along in our lives, either when we were very young it's all the way through. All the way through. You have things that happen that you really didn't like. But things that were prepared for you to have to go through. Do you believe that? We need to believe that because it's true. I mean, just look outside. It's springtime. Oh, sorry. It's New York. Is it spring? All right, it's third spring. This is third spring. I think fourth winter is coming next week. But when the seasons change, you see those animals, Pastor Jay, you're a farmer. The effect of the weather on the plants and the animals, what do you see? Squirrels are collecting stuff. You think they like that? Really? It's hard for them. It's cold. We see deer. We were away in Florida for 2 months. on a sabbatical, and Isabel was looking at our cameras on our house, and every night you'd see all these deer trying to find some food. We're not alone in having things become difficult. They're easy, then they're difficult, then they're easy, then they're difficult. So this great adventure is exactly that. It sounds so happy when you sing the song, but it's actually, life is not easy, but it's beautiful, especially if you know the one true God of creation. I can't go anywhere else without saying thank you to my wife. It's Isabel Natale Shapitka. Boy, when she got that name changed from Natale to Shapitka, she was like, I love you, honey, but you ruined my name. Isabel Shapitka. Just a little different, but I call her Bella. I love to call her Bella. Anybody know what Bella means?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Bella, you were sent by God to me. You were. We have very similar backgrounds. We both had this miraculous awakening to God around the same time. God knows that I needed an Italian cook. He knows that. I needed to eat a lot, and it needed to be really good. But the best part is she cooks food that's safe and good. But Bella, you are, I've told you this before, everything I need in every way, always. You're the best mom. You're the best wife. And you saved my life last year. She was my nurse last year. Part of the great adventure is after working way too many years without resting, which I did, and the question from the little boy about what's the trickiest part, it was a little girl, wasn't it? Trickiest part. And I said, well, it's spending time with my family. My family's right there, and I'm going to look right at my daughter, Danielle. That's where I failed. I just was with people from the church day in, day out. If I had a meeting at night, I'd call up my wife and say, honey, I'm just going to stay here. I only live 2 miles down the road. Just going to stay here. And I did that so often that one day my daughter called. I think you're about 12, honey, because you were perfectly innocent when you said it. She said, hi, Daddy. I want to talk to you. Do I have to make an appointment? Yep. So I just want to publicly ask for forgiveness from my family for not being there because I got consumed with being there for everybody else. It's a nice thing as long as your family is still number one. And in my heart, they were, and even in my answers, when I answered that question, I knew the right answer, but I wasn't doing it like I should have. So I want to say I'm sorry, and I want to say thank you for how amazing you are, Isabel, and the time that we've spent together. My favorite time here at the church is when Isabel, not when we did worship together, when she worked here for 2 years in the office, filling in as the administrator. Julie Litwin, one of the teachers, took a great picture. She just saw it because she was by the copier, and she saw me in my office and Isabel in her office, and she got a shot of that, and it was just fantastic. Those 2 years were the best because she wasn't home while I was here. We were working together, and then we'd go home together. And of course, what's our preschool? Because that was my release. I would leave, come out of my office or come out of meeting with people, whatever I was doing, and I would go in there and sit with the kids and have a book read. And I also want to thank my daughter, Danielle, for who you are, honey.
You are a very, very special, unique young lady. When we were growing up, well, I guess I was growing up too, but she was growing up. We used to play a game. It was called the FBI game. That's just what we called it. It was the FBI game. My first occupation was I was an FAA quality control inspector for turbine engine components. So I was trained to be vigilant and watchful. Like, you can't make a mistake, right? You can't make a mistake with an aircraft part. So I always trained Isabel too, Danielle, to be vigilant and watchful. And we would play this game. We would hide from each other. We would try to trick each other. We would ask questions. And I got to say, even though I had the training, Danielle was better. And she still is. She's vigilant and she's watchful. And that's really important, especially with your family. Joshua, I thank you. You're the same thing. So I wanted to thank both of you, all of you. And thank you for the team that we've had here. I will not go any further without giving these thanks. I'm going to name you. The team of elders that served when I served on the team, I'm still here, but obviously I'm not the team leader anymore, and I'll be stepping down today or sometime this week officially to refire, not to retire, just retire from this position. Who knows what else is in the great adventure? I just want to thank my dear brothers and friends. And you can clap for each one, because I tell you, I love these men. I love these men. I've never been with a group of men like this in any church I've ever been at. Paul Vidlich. David Parker. Michael Brown. David Morse. And then we got the two little new kids. David Blackstone, who is in Africa. He'll be here in a couple of months. I also wanted to thank two special men. I don't know if they're in the room right now, who did also serve as elders, and that's Greg Shepherd and Vasily. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Vasily. Billy. Billy Balazs. Thank you for the whole staff of Noah's Ark Preschool, especially Susan and Julie Litwin. Susan Balazs. And thank you, the entire congregation, and to all our friends and family who made it out here today. I cannot believe who I'm walking into in this room. Some of them I prayed. I said, oh, God, I'd really like to see that person. And then I bump into them. One really special one, I don't even know where she is right now. But if you work at Light of the World, you would see, like once a week, there would be a big box in the front of the church filled with Broccoli Robbie. Right? Broccoli Robbie. Is she here in the room? Doris, stand up. She would bring it from Price Chopper. And just very quickly, I would go there. Thank you. I would go there because Paul Raimondo would give us food that was, you know, maybe had a little mark on it, and we'd bring a bunch of food here. And I said, do you have any broccoli, Robbie? And he goes, oh, no, no, no. Doris gets that. And Doris got the message that I said that. And Doris, for like 2 years, there was broccoli, Robbie showing up. It was amazing. Doris, I just can't even believe you're here. I'm so happy. Thank you. Thank you for my beautiful family who's here. My brother had an accident. He was not able to make it. But I have a brother, John, and my sister, Susie, still down in Florida. But just to look down, it's been a long time since I've seen you from this position. They've been here many times in the early years when we came. We are entirely blessed to have you here. Thank you. I could not go any further without telling you the truth about myself, who I was and who I am. I know we have a lot of Christian friends here. We have a lot of Christian Catholic friends here. We have some Jewish friends here. So, especially for my friend Glenn in the back. Glenn, if you could just like stick your hand up. Glenn's Jewish. It's really cool because his wife, you're Catholic, right? Dawn's Catholic. I married them a couple of years ago up in Lake George. You think that might be hard? That's nothing. Here's the big problem. He's a Yankee fan. She's a Red Sox fan. I got the same problem in my family. And now he's indoctrinating the boys to be Boston Red Sox fans. I don't think so. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, everyone pay attention, but especially Glenn. When I was 24 years old and I was working in the turbine engine industry, I was doing really well. Had a couple of fancy cars. Isn't that nice to know, the guy that's looking at your turbine engine components? Big pothead. I lived for myself. That's how I lived, for my own pleasure. 24 years old, coming home from work in my little fancy car, get out of my car, go to the apartment, second floor, and Mike, I'm going to say this. You probably had it done to you. I never did, except by God. You ever get tased? I got tased by God. Tased by God. I walked into the apartment, and I went straight down on my face. It didn't hurt, though. That's the good part. I bet you yours hurt. Didn't hurt. I'm laying on the ground, and I know it's God. I know it's God, and he's speaking to me while I'm laying on my face. And he's tenderly talking to me about who I am. And it had to be 20 minutes. I don't know. I don't think there was any time at that time. I was just there. And when I got up off the floor, I heard this voice. Pretty sure it was Jesus. But Glenn, just for you, Jesus' mother also said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So she was a Jewish mother, you have to listen. All right? Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. And when I got up off the ground, all the marijuana gone, dumped down the toilet. Everything that was in the house that didn't belong, dumped into the dumpster. And I was, it's my wife's favorite part of the story. Not really. That's why I'm coming right back to you. I was a Jew hater. But I'm not anymore.
Love you, brother.
I love you, too. I didn't even know why I was. Had no reason. My family wasn't like that. But when I got up, I was a new person.
God bless you.
Been to Israel 6 times.
Beautiful.
I'll give my life for you.
I love you, brother.
I love you. I was a new creation. I went to work and everybody was like, what happened to him? What happened to him? God told me, go see your mother. Show yourself to your mother. And I did. I drove 45 minutes, knocked on her door. I said, hi, Mom. Her face just went, like, I must have looked different. I don't know. I had a picture of what I looked like. You wouldn't believe it. It was an empty soul. It was an empty soul. Do whatever he tells you to do. And that's where I live right now. And I'm doing, my wife and I, whatever he tells us to do. know what else he told me? Find a rabbi. Find a rabbi. I know it sounds weird to you, like I'm in my living room and God's talking to me. But it's in here. Find a rabbi. And it took me 30 years, Glenn, to find a rabbi that would talk to me. I just found Jesus. Can you talk to me? I'm looking for a rabbi. Didn't go over real well. But the one that did talk to me after 30 years is going to be here today in the hall with his wife. You guys have met him. Rabbi Yaakov. He's going to be here today. This great adventure is way bigger than anybody thinks. This great adventure is filled with challenges and miracles that go with them. Right, brother? Things that you can't even believe. I remember listening when I was down in Florida to David Morrison, and at least two times he made a decision because he felt in his heart that the Holy Spirit of God was telling him, don't get on that plane. One went straight into a mountain. Everybody died, right, brother? And that was a highly trained pilot, military pilot. And then a second one crashed that you did not get on because you felt, he said, don't get on, right? He leads us and he guides us. And he brings us up to some of the most beautiful places and things. I don't mean places like, you know, going on vacation. That's not what I mean. I mean encounters with people. Encounters, I'm going to say it, divine encounters. But there's pain. There's pain in the offering. In order to follow God, there's pain. It's not easy. And that's what I want to share this with you. We don't want to not be in leadership anymore, or maybe not be here as much as you've seen us before, because we'll be in some other places. Don't come here as an audience. You're not an audience. Can you do me a favor? Just knock on the stairs there. Just bang it hard. That's not the church. That's a building. The church is not a building. It's actually not even the best word for the translation. But it's really all of you, all who believe. Glenn, in the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, in English they were called the church in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness. Because it's the gathering of the summoned, the ones who were called and were brought into a group, that's who we are. That's the church. We just meet in the building. But wherever you are, that's where the church is. And that's the whole idea. Your fragrance of the one true God. So 30 years to find this rabbi, and around that time, backing up, that was 2010, but backing up, when I first had my experience in my apartment, that was like 1980, and around that time, Isabel had a very similar experience. And then we met in the first church that we were at. My sisters were also, at least one of them, oh, you guys still go there. Steve does. Same church, right? Different name, same church. Same families. So when I met Isabel, it was almost love at first sight, right? Anybody that knows the story, it's great. We were friends for a long time. And, you know, this guy just kicked myself in the butt, just so you know. I really liked her. She was my friend. But I was telling her about the other girls that I liked. Yeah, and she was just like, really? You know, but inside she was dying. Until one day God said, then we married. We married in 1983. Great adventure. Another part of the great adventure is we moved from where we lived in Rockland County, moved up here. We actually moved to Queensbury. Queensbury. More miracles. No time for the story today. But I'll tell you this, she works for IBM. I work for the gas turbine industry. I resigned from that. And somebody from IBM in another part of the country that she never met to this day sends a request into her office in Rockland County or New Jersey, I can't remember where you were, creating a job for her in Albany that only Isabel could fill. And we still never met who it is. Maybe it's not even a human being. But she got a job from someone who sent her here, and we have no clue who it was. So we got here miraculously, and we made our way to Light of the World in 1986. We were invited to a small group gathering at Emmanuel Christian Center. Steve, am I saying it right? Emmanuel Christian Center? Christian retreat, I don't know what. We don't like to say retreat. We're always moving forward. But we were there, and we came from Albany with Danielle as a little girl. We came all the way down to Albany for a Friday night and a Saturday. But we had to drive back home because we had an 85-year-old grandma at our house taking care of our 2-year-old daughter. So we came all the way down for the retreat. We went all the way back up. Then we came all the way back down in the morning. And they asked us to lead worship for the first time. I don't know where David is. David Diggs, are you still here? Over there. You asked us if we could lead because Larry was away. So we did. And at that gathering, when it was just about over, they had a time to pray for people. And they split us up into like 4 different groups. Unfortunately, when you have a name that starts with S or anything after that, if it's alphabetical, you're going to wait for a while. So we spent our whole lives like that, but we also had so many things that we had to wait for. We weren't sure where we were going in this great adventure. And there was a man, one of the men that was there. I know David Diggs was speaking over people and praying for people. But the other person was a pastor named Jim Wolford. I don't think he's here today. If he is, he'll let you know. But he's talking to people and praying over people and encouraging them and giving them words that about them that there's no way he could know, except the last one, since we waited like 2 hours. And he says, this couple over here, you've waited patiently for like 2 hours. And God says to you that he's calling you to waiting. And we just start crying because we're... It's a good one. That's a good one. Saddle him up. He's called you to waiting. Imagine hearing that. That's encouraging. He's calling you to waiting. But if you already have spent a lot of time waiting and being disappointed, and then you hear, he's calling you to that. That's your calling. You're going to wait. I remember Isabel crying. She's like, what? You know, can it just be something else? Calling us to suddenly. And then he quotes, I don't even remember if he had his Bible with him. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's Luke chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read the first part, but then I'm going to just fill it in. This is what he reads. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, that's one leader, right? I'm just going to be listing leaders here. This is what it says. Pontius Pilate, being the governor over Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and then on and on and on and on. It just keeps mentioning names. And then it says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. John the Baptist. And he said, John the Baptist was not somebody who had a title. He was not somebody who was significant. He was not somebody in the world anyway. He was not somebody that you heard the name and you go, oh yeah. Except for at some point they're going, oh, that's that crazy guy in the wilderness that eats the locusts. But the word of the Lord comes to him. Where? too soft. Let's try it again. Where does the word of the Lord come to him? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. And then Jim says to us, Robin Isabel, you will never be widely known. You will never hold a prominent position. I call this pretty prominent, but only because it's my heart. But it's not. I'm not like the governor of New York or anything. He said, but what you will do is follow the Lord's leading into the wilderness, where you will hear the word of the Lord and bring it back to someone who needs to hear it. And then you will go back into the wilderness, and you will come back with the word of the Lord for someone who needs to hear it. And that will be your life. And we're thinking, okay, sure, how's that going to work? If you're not from this community, I would have to explain a lot of things, but if you are from this community, we've had so many things happen that are completely unexplainable. I'm going to tell you one of them. In the back there is Sean Garvey and his wife, Marsha. Sean, can you just stand up for 1 second? Sean Garvey. So just in case, maybe you're from Queensbury, Garvey Motors, his family's Garvey Motors. And way back when we lived in Queensbury, and we had Grandma and we had little Danielle, we were trying for the first time in a long time to just get away. Someone was going to watch Grandma. We were just going to go somewhere. And well, that's right, Patty, you came with us. Oh, my gosh. My sister Patty came with us. And at the time, I began working for Garvey Motors doing telecommunications. That was my second occupation, putting in telephone systems. And I already told a few people, Sean, that you were pretty tough that first day. So you followed me like this. Just make sure you do it neatly, please. We keep our place really nice, and but don't have any clips of the wires on the ground or anything. Okay, Sean, I got it. Anyway, it went on like that for a little while, and then all of a sudden, we connected. Because I'm neat anyway. I do everything in a neat way, try to satisfy. He said to me, you should go to Cape Cod. He's got a house out in Truro. He said, I'll tell you how to get there from Queensbury. It's a long ride, but I'll tell you how to get there. And then we were talking about, I don't know how it initiated, Sean, but Plymouth. So stick your hand up if you're from Light of the World and you know all about what happened at Plymouth. Holy cow, look around. So I'm not going to go through the whole story, but in Plymouth with Danielle when she was small and my sister Patty and her daughter and Isabel, we are in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And I hear a voice this ear. I hear a voice, not in here, but here. I hear a voice. This is what I hear. Remember. Remember? Everybody. This thing swept over this church, this whole story, which I'm not going to go into. I came back and I told the story. It was so moving in this church that we hired a tour bus, and we had 40 people from the church that go back, and we went in the fall. But what came out of that, years later, this one guy you know really well, Barry, something happened there that was absolutely incredible, and then someone hands me a CD here at Light of the World. I'm just telling you the great adventure. I want you to hear this, because you might not hear it again. But you've got to let it go in, and you have to live this thing out, that every day is a miracle. You only get one day. You only get one day. So this church goes out to Plymouth. You know who was with us? Anybody in here was on that bus? You know who was with us? Jesse and Rochelle, the new team leader. I don't know, how old was he? 20, right? I don't know what he was in 2004. You know the age, Jess? David? He's the same age as you, isn't he? Close? A little bit, okay. He was there. You know who else was there? Josiah Armstrong. Remember him? Remember he did the prophetic thing? Paul J. Lee. The place was wrecked. Through that, I get a phone call from somebody that I knew in the Cromwell Lake gas turbine place who was the night watchman. He was the night watchman. You know what his name is? Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan Kahn has a conversation with me, and he goes, I had the same thing happen. The book that he wrote, The Harbinger, was first supposed to be a movie, which he and I were talking about because I kept seeing this thing's going to be a movie. He writes a book called The Harbinger, and he's probably the most sought-after speaker in the country. You think that's fair, Barry? Barry also steps in for him when he's out. Barry's one of like two people who can step in there. Secondly, the message gets across to Kirk Cameron. And Kirk Cameron makes a film called Monumental, based on a statue that's in Plymouth that we saw. And this church prayed. What I'm trying to tell you is the seeds for the Monumental movie and the seeds for Jonathan Kahn writing his book, and then whatever happened from there, and the flames that happened from there, started right here. But not everybody believed. Some people were like, yeah, whatever, there's nothing going to come out of that. But the ones who did believe can say, I was part of that. This church has seen so many incredible things that the world sees, and we don't even know it. Isn't it interesting what the name of the church is? Love that name. They love that name. Or HaOlam. Oh, what a great name. I believe the name came from God. All right. Let's just move on to one last thing. I don't even know how I'm doing with time here, but this is really important. Understand that wherever you're from, but I'm speaking directly to Light of the World and people who are connected to Light of the World. God threw a little seed, and if someone was listening and responded to that seed, he blew it into a huge move of himself for this country. Go in my office and I'll show you. There's where it started. My office, I know my office looks like a museum. I got to clean it out soon. It looks like a museum. You know why? Because it is a museum. Everything really happened. And you were all a part of it. Or maybe not. Maybe you just watched. I'm encouraging you, don't just watch. Julie Litwin in the back there, one of our teachers and assistant director, she had something happen here that's like that. I don't know where you were before that, but I just know where you are right now and where you've been for the last number of years is like, I believe he can do anything. Anything. I'm going to give you the real quick version. She's telling a story. Some of you have heard it. Pout, Pout, Fish. Great story. She's telling the story. She's a great storyteller. She tells the story, and she's doing it with Pastor Paul and me in the room with the kids, and we're laughing like crazy. But it's such a beautiful story. It ends with love, and it's wonderful. The pout pout fish is a fish that. Ever see a fish with the mouth that way? And all the sea creatures are trying to make the fish smile, but can't do it. Until the end of the book, this little fish comes up and goes on the side of his face. And he flips upside down. He's so Twitter-pated. But then he has a smile. And is he? What is he after that? Kiss, kiss, fish? He becomes the kiss, kiss, fish. And she, we ask her to do a devotional, her first one with the staff. But she was in a very serious time. There were a lot of things that she was working through with God and in her life, her family's life. And we had a lot of tears in that room. It was like amazing how she's turning pout-pout fish into, you know, like Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. It's amazing. She goes home that day, and if you have it, put it up. There it is. That's the car that's in front of her. It's in front of her. Look at all the other cars, right? Okay. For the people who might know, if you looked up that license plate, let's say it's a New York State license plate. How many licensed drivers are in New York State? Anybody know? Guess. I don't know. Millions, right? Millions. So what's the probability of the one who has that license plate be in front of her at the exact right time and then be stuck in a traffic jam? That's real. That is real. So the last thing I want to share, please don't walk away from the miracles. Don't walk away from the miracle. You have to believe. You have to believe. And the last thing I want to share is what happened to us when we were on sabbatical. We were in Florida in a house that Isabel found that was absolutely amazing. Where you walked in the front door was doors that were glass. And then when you opened the door, it would be like the back doors there. Were glass, and behind that was a beautiful built-in pool. And that's all we did for 2 months. Because like I said before, I never stopped. And Isabel never stopped. Bella never stopped. We didn't learn how to stop. What do they call that, Glenn, the Jews, when we stop? The Sabbath, come on. The Sabbath. And it's only one day a week. 6 days you shall labor, one day you shall rest. We think we do two because we do it better. But actually, we don't do it at all. I think mostly, yeah, we come together on a Sunday like this. But coming together is not actually the whole thing. The whole thing is stopping and resting and having conversations with your family. Michael, remember being in Israel? Oh, my gosh. They don't talk about business. They don't talk about Trump. They don't talk about finances. They just talk about life, beautiful things. I remember this little boy, whole nother story, gigantically miraculous. He's sitting right next to me. He became my friend. He was like 4 years old back then. The rabbi's right here, and the picture on the wall is crooked. And he says, Abba, I fix. And I'm like, ooh, what's going to happen now? And he says, not today, Nadiv. Today it's perfect. You get it? Think about, bring that into our belief in Yeshua as the arm of God. The Jews say Hashem, the name. You know, the name of God. He has a name, you know. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in Hebrew. I don't care if you're Catholic or whatever you are. That's what it says in your Bible. In English, it says the Lord, but that's not his name. It's like I call you Chief, but your name's Mike, right? He has a name. Maybe you should look it up. Where was I? Sorry, got myself off track here. Sabbath, the Sabbath. It's where they're resting. And they're not actually concerned with the troubles of the world, even though they're real. Now, they do a lot of other things that they don't do. But I'm talking about just stopping. Cell phone, down. Television, down. just talk, just be with each other. I long for that. I really long for the real thing. We gather together for it, but we don't always, you know, every once in a while we get off, boop, we're talking about something else that we shouldn't be. But to actually rest is something that I haven't learned until I went away. And when we rested for 2 full months, my daughter showed me a picture of me holding Jasper just before I left and a picture of me holding Jasper when I came back. I can't even believe it's the same person. From resting, because we didn't rest. So here's the hard part of this. It's beautiful, but it's hard if you were like me and I didn't know how to stop. You know what happened when I didn't know how to stop? Take a guess. Heart attack. It was from stress. It wasn't from Twinkies. It was from stress and no rest. I never stopped. I just kept going and going and going and going. Whoever needed anything, I would do it. And stress will take you out. The miracle of that is I never even knew I was having a heart attack. It didn't even hurt. Ever. What hurt was the surgery, the open heart surgery and 6 bypasses and the recovery. But it's like it never happened when it was happening. God had to stop me. He used it to stop me and to awaken me. So when we were the only 2 times we got in a boat, and we got in a boat with Bruce and Linda, who you mentioned, right? They were friends of ours when we first came into this church. We saw them during the Jubilee, and they're down in Florida for the winter. So we saw them, and they said, let's go out in the boat. We go out in the boat, and we're in what they call the canal first. The boat lowers down into the water. We're in the little canal, and then the canal goes to the bay, and the bay goes to the Gulf. And as we're going out, he's describing certain things about the bay, and he said, this bay, for 40 years, got really murky, and there was hardly any life in it, not much fish and dolphins and manatees and whatever else, and it looked murky, it didn't look right. And that happened because the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 1983, anybody recognize that year? Did I say it before? What is it? It's when we got married and decided to not stop. 1983 till now. In 1983, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers made a man-made, I don't even know what you would call it, blocking of 2 Florida Keys. They built it up so the water would no longer come in from the Gulf. Anybody know what that would be? Breaker, right. That sounds good. Like a jetty, but I don't know what it was made with. But I think it was just... That's right, that famous plant that Florida has, and all kind, and it blocked the water, and the water no longer came into the bay. So the water was in the bay, but the bay became stagnant. In the Bible, what's that? That's a cistern. It became a giant cistern, if you ask me, and the fresh water was on the other side. He said, but Rob, watch this. So we pull up, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's gone. It's gone, and then you see the Gulf, and it's like, wow, that is creepy. It's gone because a hurricane came in 2023 and blew it apart, blew the whole thing apart, and the water gushed in. And guess what the water is now in the bay? It's alive again. It's alive again. There's fish. It's beautiful. It doesn't smell because it's alive again. So I'm sleeping one night right after that. Sense look up the name of the keys. I'm like, okay. So I get my cell phone, I'm probably in the bathroom, sitting on the, pretending I'm on the toilet with my cell phone. I look it up. One of the keys is called Casey Key. Casey, like Casey Stengel. Casey Key. The other key is Siesta Key. It's all blocked. 1983, all got blocked up. 2023, it blows apart. By who? Say it loud. By God. He blows it apart and makes it all fresh again. Do you know what Casey means? I looked up Casey. Vigilant and watchful. And I just lost it. I just lost it. Vigilant and watchful is drying up because he never stops. He never stops. I might not have looked like I was drying up, because I don't mean that like spiritually. I mean that my body was like, when you give me a break every once in a while, just give me some rest. Stop, even if it's just one day. Even what you're thinking and what you're saying. These two keys, who knows when they were named? But for me and for us, it was a gift. I blew open by my own hand this thing that was in the way that man built and doesn't belong there. I don't want you to eat from drink from cisterns anymore. I want you to have fresh water. And I want you to rest. Siesta key. What's a siesta? Come on, Puerto Ricans. What's it? I know it's not for you, but you know what it means. What does it mean? Take a rest. When vigilant and watchful met rest, there was life again. The last point, and then we're going to finish this part. Go whatever is next. The name of that area that got blown back open again is called the Midnight Pass. Midnight. It's almost always because there's a crisis and an intervention that's divine. The stinking pass is named Midnight Pass, and it's rest and vigilance and watchfulness coming together. Listen, I know there's a lot of people in this room that don't know how to rest. And even if you think you're resting, but you're scrolling or you're watching television, you're not resting. David, I love what you said. Read your Bible, not your phone Bible. Because your phone's going to go, right? Right? Hey, Chris, do what he says, right? Do what he says. You hear him. Do what he says. Even if it's we're going on vacation, don't go. Don't go there. Listen. See that lady at the other end of the parking lot? Wait for her and hold the door. If you hear it, do it, because you won't believe what happens when you do. Amen. Do not be afraid, but know that God will deal with us in however he has to get us to rest like he made us to. Amen. Now I got to figure out what's going on. Are we going to sing a song? Is that where we are? So during this time, I kept hearing a song in my ears, and I'm like, which mic's mine? Oh, I'm going over there. Okay.
You can talk on that.
Yeah, and then I'll shut it off. A song in my ears, if you're, I don't know, if you're late 50s or 60s, you probably know the song I'm talking about. But I don't know why it's in my ear. It's in our house just before we left. It's in my ear. What's it all about, Alfie? Remember that song?
Yeah.
Anybody remember that? I'm like, give me a break. Actually, I said it to you in the text. What's it all, my sister's like, what's it all about, Alfie? What the heck? The next line, is it just for the moment you live? And I'm like, huh? And I look it up, and it's me from before. And she knows, because she sings, she goes, oh, I know that song. She's singing the whole song, and I'm like dying. The next line is, I believe in love, Alfie. Without true love, you can't exist.
We just right? exist. Just exist.
We just exist. Yeah. That was me. So he wasn't like rubbing it in. Remember what you were? No, he's saying, that's what you were. And this is what you are now.
I just want to set the stage for this song God gave to us a few months ago. It has wrecked us for the better. And we were going to do it live. And Rob said, you know, I think the video needs to be played. And I said, I think you're right. So we're going to sing along with the video because it is so impactful that we didn't want you to lose anything. So we want you to sing. The words will be up there. And if you know it, sing it and enjoy it and let the Lord speak to you because it's all about one day. You get one day. Can you put that on, please?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Nice and loud, please. And I need the lyrics up there.
Amazing grace, I see the sound.
That's nuts, dude. That's crazy.
Stand, feel free.
I'm a sinner, grace is still healing. I'm a story, time is revealing. I'm all of these things, but mostly I'm thankful.
Where's the words, guys?
I'm a fighter, caught in a struggle, a survivor. Rising above it, I'm all of these things, but mostly I'm thankful, 'cause you gave me one more day to say I love you. You have brought me all this way to testify of grace. What more but hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 'Cause you gave me one more day. One more day. The night was closing in on me. Didn't know if I'd see the morning. You held on to me, and Jesus, I'm grateful. When my enemies turned up the fire El Shaddai, you were right there beside me. You showed up for me, and Jesus, I'm grateful, 'cause you gave me one more day.
Hallelujah.
To say I love you,
oh God.
You have brought me all this way to testify of grace. What more can I say? But hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 'Cause you gave me one more day. One more day.
You gave me
one more day. No, Lord, I just really want to praise you, 'cause you mean everything to me.
Pastor Rob and Isabel, could you just join us down here on the floor? We want to have a time of prayer. And just take some of God for all that you've done for this community. Looking back over the years, I think the best blessing is that we have one more day. That song really just hits it home, because all of the moments that we can look back at as loss, he has still kept you here. He's held you through all of this, and it's for a purpose. So even though we're moving on from leading the team, and some would say retirement, or refirement, Pastor Rob is moving into Pastor Emeritus, which is just another way of saying he's still honored here, he's still loved here, he's still a part of us. We're just not going to make him do stuff. And I like the phrase, because I'm closely knit into the language, biblical language of family. He's moving from father of the house to a grandfather in the house. And that's a place of honor.